Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Lone Rock is the leader as they come for the quarter pole. Tis a Magician runs in second, and Moretti is next in third as they head for home now. Here's Tis a Magician up to challenge Lone Rock for the lead. Moretti's on the outside in third. Rise the Guy is in fourth, and they're at the eighth pole. And it is Lone Rock who is opening up on the field here. Lone Rock is all alone here in deep stretch. Lone Rock really pouring it on to win the Brooklyn Stakes decisively. Tis a Magician was second, and Moretti finished third, and the time was 2:25 1/5 seconds.
Now, here's Bobby Newman.
Good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. I'm Bobby Newman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I've got analysis of 15, I said it correctly, 15 huge races from around North America this weekend. We've got races at Belmont, we've got races at Churchill, we've got races north of the border up at Woodbine. We've even got a big race down at Laurel. Lots to get to this weekend's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Don't forget, they're off. The Belmont Fall Meet is here with the long-awaited opening. Just this past Thursday, horses are sprinting out of the gate, and they're giving out an extra $200 for anyone to get in on the action. Naira Betts is offering a $200 sign-up bonus for this historic fall meet at the world-famous Belmont Park. A 100% match on your first initial deposit, eligible up to $200. Just use the promo code HRRN200. That's the letters HRRN, no spaces, and the numbers 200, HRRN200. Available nationwide, sign up for the Naira Betts at NairaBetts.com or download the Naira Betts app today. And by the way, don't forget, you can watch all the great action from both Belmont and Churchill all fall. On America's Day, the races turn into FS2 every afternoon when Belmont and Churchill are racing now through Sunday, and you'll be able to catch the action throughout the fall meets at Belmont Park and Churchill Downs. Okay, let's get right into the handicapping action. They've got three big stakes on the Saturday card at Belmont Park, and the first one is the Grand Prix American Jockey Club Invitational. Boy, that's a lot to say. $300,000 on the line. This is an invitational race, so it's not like you can just enter and go in the race. You have to be invited to enter the race. Four-year-olds and up, they're going to go the elongated distance of a mile and 5/8. And when you hear distances like that in this country right now, you think of one horse, and his name is Lone Rock. The Robertino Diodoro trainee has just been absolutely awesome since he stretched out to these big distances. This is a horse who only about a year ago was running 6 and 6.5 furlong races at Saratoga last summer. And by the way, not running poorly in those sprint races. He was kind of ping-ponging back and forth as via the claim between Robertino Diodoro and Bill Mott. When he was last claimed, it was for $40,000 November 26th in a one-turn mile race at Churchill Downs. But since then, he's basically been stretched out to these longer distances. 4.5 mile tests and a 1.75 mile test last time out in the Birdstone. And he's won almost all of those races. And by the way, he's banked about $500,000 since he was last claimed for $40,000. He's just gotten really, really good. And the thing that he has over the rest of the field is that he's consistently really, really good. There's some other horses in here who have run some big races at times. Moretti has run some big races, although he hasn't been able to figure out Lone Rock yet. Even Empty Tomb has run some big races, although he's never been anywhere close to this elongated distance. He's going claimed away from Mike Maker by Robert Falcone out of his last start. So there are horses that speed figure-wise look like they could contend with Lone Rock. Boy, but it's hard to play against this horse. He's got his regular rider, Ramon Vasquez, shipping back into Belmont Park. He's already won on the Belmont Park track, winning the Grade True Brooklyn earlier this year. He's tough to beat. He's 1-2 on the morning line. I'm not going to pick against him. I don't think he's the best bet of the weekend, but I think he's going to win the Grand Prix American Jockey Club Invitational goes as the fourth race tomorrow on the Belmont Park program. Races 9 and 10 are the other stakes on the Belmont card tomorrow, and these have even bigger purses than the previous one. The ninth race, the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational Stakes, this is an invitational for the three-year-old fillies. They go a mile and three-eighths on the turf. How about this purse? $700,000. Field of seven set to go to post here, and I'm going to try the French Invader Harajuku, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. H-A-R-A-J-U-K-U. Harajuku for Andre Fab and Stéphane Pasquier. Been running in Group 1, Group 2, Group 3 events over in Europe, and although really not winning those races, although she is a Group 3 winner already, but recently in the Group 1s and the Group 2, she hasn't been winning, but she's been very close in those races. And you got to think that if you're close enough to winning Group 1s and Group 2s in Europe, and you're coming to an ungraded race over in the States, now this race may be graded eventually, this is just the initial running of this. This race may eventually become a graded race, but as of now, it's not, and there are several in here that are non-graded stakes winners that are trying this race. I'm going to try the French filly because I think she's the class of the field, and I think Harajuku is going to have a big chance. She's 4-1 on the morning line in the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational, goes as race number 9 tomorrow. 10th race on the Belmont card tomorrow, the $1 million Jockey Club Derby Invitational. These are three-year-olds set to go a mile and a half on the turf, and we've got a field of eight in there as well. And similar to the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational, this is a race that has some European flair to it, and maybe the best of the Euro Invaders, at least first-time Euro Invaders, is going to be number 2, Ybir, for Charles Appleby and Jamie Spencer. Ybir has been trying a mile and a half in his last two starts. In fact, he's been running elongated distances basically his last four or five races, and he's run very well in most of those starts. He's already a Group 2 winner in Europe. He's a Group 3 winner in Europe. That seems like it would make him very, very tough to beat in this spot in America, going the mile and a half. And to be perfectly honest, the horses that are locally based that are going to be trying Ybir or vice versa don't seem to be the top that we have here in the country. Now, we do have a few that look like they're on their way up. Soldier Rising was a Euro Invader from France last time out, ran in the Saratoga Derby Invitational, ran a very good second that day, only beaten a length. He's now in the Christophe Clément barn. He's obviously very logical. Bolshoi Ballet shows back up. He was very impressive winning the Belmont Derby in his first start coming over from Europe. Then last time out in the Saratoga Derby, he was even money in the race, looked like he was sitting a good trip and just had nothing down the stretch, and that was going a mile and 3/16 on the turf. So now he's asked to go a mile and a half. He's got to go a little bit further. He's got his regular rider, Ryan Moore, aboard once again. I don't know what to make of Bolshoi Ballet. I have a feeling he's going to be overbet, and I have a feeling that he's just not as good as Ybir. We'll see. Ybir's 2-1 on the morning line. I think that's the way I want to go in this spot. I like his form in Europe. I think it's better than what most of these can handle. So Ybir for me in race number 10 tomorrow at Belmont Park, the Jockey Club Derby Invitational. Once again, this is the first running of some of these races, so they are not graded yet, but eventually they will. You can see the quality of the fields and the American Jockey Club Invitational, the Jockey Club Oaks Invitational, the Jockey Club Derby Invitational. It's just a matter of time before the Graded Stakes Committee gets on board and assigns these a grade, because the fields are very, very good. One last race to look at this segment. We're going to head down to Laurel Park. And, boy, this is a race that's been fantastic over years. The Grade 3 Frank DeFrancis Memorial Dash, three-year-olds and up, sprinting 6 furlongs. The purse here is $200,000. Got a nice field of 6 assembled. Now, way back when, this was a race when it first started, and maybe in its heyday in the late 80s, early 90s, maybe even after that, drew some of the top sprinters in the nation. And it's kind of I don't want to say it's worked its way down the ladder, but with the scheduling of some other big races at other racetracks, not only in the U.S., but at Woodbine as well, there have been so many choices that this race has kind of taken a hit, it seems like, over the years. They've got a very nice field on board tomorrow at Laurel. It goes as the eighth race. Even though it's just a field of six, some very promising sprinters and horses that look like they're kind of on their way up the class ladder. Starting with number two, Jalen Journey, and number five, Wonder Where Craig Is. They are 7-5 and 8-5 respectively on the morning line. Jalen Journey coming off a resounding win at Saratoga in his last start. It was an optional claiming allowance event, basically a non-winners of three other than allowance event, or you could have been in for the $100,000 tag. Jalen Journey covered the six furlongs, or rather six and a half furlongs, in 1-14-3. You just don't see that very often, and he won by 8.5 a length. So it's not that the track was lightning fast and he won by a head that day and there were several horses there running these blistering times. Jalen Journey just blitzkrieged that field that afternoon and was very, very impressive. Now, question is that the new Jalen Journey? He's run good races in the past. I don't think he's run that well in the past. So you wonder if he's going to regress a little bit. He's a horse that wants to be on or near the lead. Number one, Kalu is another one who wants to be on or near the lead. Number five, Wonder Where Craig Is. He looks like he wants to be on the lead. He's another horse that's an up-and-comer, and his last two races were very, very good. An optional claiming allowance race at Pimlico, and then the restricted tail of the Cat Stakes at Saratoga last time out. All very talented runners. I think there's enough speed in the race that number six, Lockie, could have a chance. L-A-K-I. This was last year's winner of the Grade 3 De Francis, and he won it in upset fashion from off the pace that day, getting up to win by a nose at odds of 7-1. Well, fast forward 1 year, he's 6-1 on the morning line. He's going to have some pace to run at again. He's drawn well on the outside. He's been first or second 15 of 22 career tries at Laurel Park. I know he's an 8-year-old gelding, for the most part has not been facing this level of competition. He loves it at Laurel. He's going to get the pace scenario he wants, and he's the right price. 6-1 on Lockie. I'm going to take him to defend his crown in the Grade 3 Frank DeFrancis Memorial Dash. Goes as race 8 on the card tomorrow at Laurel. Going to take a break. When we come back, we'll head back out for some more great racing. This time we'll go to Churchill Downs. We'll hit the Blood Horse News Update. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Live racing is back at Churchill Downs September 16th through October 3rd. With the same strong purses back from summer and four new stakes races, you won't want to miss live racing at Churchill Downs. With the win in your end Grade 3 Iroquois, a Derby points race, and Grade 3 Pocahontas, an Oaks points race on September 18th, plus the new Bourbon Trail, Louisville Thoroughbred Society, Harrods Creek, and Seneca Stakes, this September meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
So I could play sports and see my friends without having to worry about anything.
I'm ready for concerts to be back and just have a life again.
So I can actually eat pizza at my favorite pizza place.
Because I'm ready to travel again.
So that I can sit on the couch, read my granddaughter books, and hug her when there's a happy ending.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
Hello, I'm Junior Alvarado, and I listen to HRRN. This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Art Collector's In Behind Horses, seventh, been switched outside. Aloha West draws alongside of him. They're five lengths off the lead as they turn for home. Strike Power still in front. Here comes Bengo. Bengo pouncing with one furlong to go, and Mucho switched outside for running room. Here comes Mucho now. Art Collector struggling back six or seven lengths off the lead. Aloha West moves up as well, but it's still Bengo. Mucho trying hard to run down Bengo. Bengo short lead. Mucho surges. Bengo maybe. Oh, it's tight. Bengo and Mucho on the wire together. Strike Power third. Aloha West was fourth, and Home Base was fifth.
Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and the Big A, Anthony Stabile, here on a Friday night. 15 races we're going over for the weekend. And as I bring our good friend Anthony Stabile back in, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com.
Shadwell to downsize as part of restructuring. Shadwell Estates, the racing and breeding operation of the late Hamdan Al Maktoum, is set to significantly contract after a global reorganization of one of the largest bloodstock empires ever created was announced September 16th. The process will begin with Shadwell selling a substantial volume of its stock, comprising yearlings, broodmares, and horses in training, at the sales before the end of the year, while a statement from the organization made no reference to any potential yearling purchases. Following the death of Sheikh Hamdan, the older brother of Sheikh Mohammed, in March at the age of 75, it was confirmed Shadwell would continue to be operated by his family, with his daughter Sheikha Hissa bint Hamdan Al Maktoum taking a more prominent role. In a statement released by Shadwell on Thursday, it was reiterated that Sheikh Hamdan's family remained committed to racing for many years to come, but that there would be a sharper focus on quality and competition at the highest level of the sport. That wraps up this evening's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus is available through BloodHorse.com and provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, Fox Sports and Blood Horse branded weekly program showcasing the thoroughbred industry's upcoming races and recapping recent stakes races, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, and so much more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today.
Let's get back into the handicapping action, and we'll head down to Churchill Downs. Of course, this is the first week of their fall meet, and they've got a big card on Saturday, Anthony. Starting with race number three, the $300,000 Open Mind Stakes for the fillies and mares, sprinting six furlongs on the main track. A short but very sweet field of five set to go to post, and it's a match of number five, Bell's the One, and number two, Sconson. They're 7-5 and 8-5, respectively.
Yeah, they are no... They're not strangers, I can tell you that. They have faced off numerous times. Boy, I got to tell you, Bobby, Bell's the One has really turned into a model of consistency. And it's funny, you kind of feel like she's gotten good without the Lasix. And I wonder if we're going to start seeing this for some of these horses that they just don't need the Lasix. She should get plenty of pace to run into. Sconson was very disappointing last time to me. And Sconson's a horse that I'm a fan of. The funny thing is, she earned her highest by a speed figure last time, but I felt like she was flat throughout. So to me, this was a little bit of a no-brainer. I just thought Bell's the One who consistently makes her kick. The only time she really didn't kick is when Gamine got away with those ridiculous fractions in the Derby City Distaff on Kentucky Derby Day. Gamine got to go 46, going 7/8 that day. She's not going to be able to close into a pace like that. Sconson certainly had the jump on her that afternoon. Was a couple of lengths in front of her. But on the square with the speed of Ain't No Elmers and Monday Call, I would imagine Bell's the One's just going to run by these.
And you mentioned Gamine. I think they're all breathing a sigh of relief that Gamine is not able to be in this race and is not in this race, because she would be odds on once again if she were facing some of these fillies and mares. I agree with you. I think Bell's the One's the one to beat. She's been very good at Churchill. Don't think we're going to get 7-5. If we do, that might be a square price on Bell's the One. So Bell's the One for both Anthony and me in the Open Mind goes as race three tomorrow at Churchill Downs. They actually have five stakes on the card at Churchill Downs tomorrow. It's a fantastic card. And the next one, in fact, The next one we're going to look at is race number 7. This is the $275,000 Louisville Thoroughbred Society Stakes, 3-year-olds and up, sprinting 6 furlongs on their main track. 6 of them set to go to post. We heard the rejoin of Bango winning the Kelly's Landing back in June. He's actually riding a 3-race win streak into the Louisville Thoroughbred Society Stakes on Saturday. Is he the one to beat once again?
I'll tell you why, Bobby. Here's another one now. Without the Lasix, this horse has been a model of consistency. He got beat Look, let's face it. Is he a grade 1, grade 2, grade 3 kind of horse? He's probably not. And if you look at his races this year without the Lasix, on dirt, he gets beat 2 lengths to Flagstaff in the Commonwealth of Keeneland. He gets beat 2.5 lengths when 9 of them hit the wire in the Churchill Downs going the 7/8 on Derby Day. He dropped out of the graded ranks. He won the Aristides. He won the Kelly's Landing, both at Churchill. He won the Good Lord over at Ellis Park. He's 6-for-9 at Churchill Downs in his career, 5-for-7 at this 6-furlong distance. And if we're being honest here, he does not have much to beat in here. The second best horse in this race is Just Might. And while he has good dirt form, and his fastest race, in fact, came on dirt, I don't necessarily trust the 5.5-furlong races down at the fairgrounds. And he's got a better, he's more accomplished on turf. So, you know, he has plenty of speed. So does the outside horse, Mighty Mischief, who's going to try older stakes horses for the first time for Steve Asmussen, who got to keep all of his good sprinters separated. Bango should be not far from the pace. And there's no reason, I hate to be chalking out so early on the Churchill card, but I don't think there's any reason Bango shouldn't make it 4 in a row.
I agree with you. I'm on Bango here as well. Question for you. Number 2 endorsed. You don't see many horses claimed for $100,000, but that's exactly what happened when endorsed ran last time at Saratoga. Mike Maker dipped in, spent the $100,000 on behalf of owner Mark Breen, and claimed this one away from Bill Mott, obviously with a plan and obviously thinking that they could win some stakes or you wouldn't spend $100,000 on a horse who's already had 19 starts. What do you make of endorsed?
He's the wild card, right? Dennis's moment is back, and he kind of came back to life a little bit last time. So I don't know if he's really considered a wild card. He'd have to get much, much faster in here. He's the wild card endorsed. Because when you look at his card, you know, especially last year, Westchester, Metropolitan, Alidar, Kelso, running all these New York stakes races. And then you look at his career box, and you see 2-for-2 going 6 furlongs. Now, those 2 wins, I want to say, were his debut, and then his return as a 3-year-old. He's not facing graded stakes competition here. We've already established that. He does have to get faster, though, and he has to find a fig that he really hasn't come close to. You know, he came close to this to a fig that would make him a winner here once in the last 18 months. He's getting claimed from one of the best trainers to ever do it, but he's going to a barn that, you know, is having a pretty good year. Mike Maker's horses don't run as well as you would think for a guy who claims as many horses. He's at 15%, so that's right around 1-for-7. It's not a terrible number. How many of them go from a claiming race to a stakes race, I don't know. But I would imagine that endorsed, I paint him as the wild card in here. I think endorsed could be very interesting. Race 7 goes as that Louisville Thoroughbred Society. I think it's the first running of this heat. Don't hold me to that, HRN Nation, but I'm pretty sure it's the first running of this heat. Race number 8, the Pocahontas for the 2-year-old fillies, going to go 1 1/16 on the main track at Churchill Downs. Of course, everything is everything's main track this meet. No turf racing at Churchill this little 16. I think it's a 16-day meet, if I'm not mistaken. This is a winner in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. The Iroquois, which will come up in a minute, is a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. So some win and you're in action this weekend with these 2-year-old races at Churchill Downs. We're going to go the 1 1/16, like I said. The grade 3. You have a lot of horses who have just broken their maiden code for success, the one from the rail out. The one code for success, the two Goddess of Fire, the three Mama Rena, she did it in her second start on, and this that was on the turf. Majestic Doro was pretty impressive at Indiana Grand for Brendan Walsh. Maxine Machine for Brad Cox at Ellis on the turf as well. You'll see a lot of these horses coming out of turf races, and quite frankly, a lot of these horses running some of these turf races because they want to get around two turns, and there aren't that many turf sprints. So you get the dirt routes. There's enough turf sprints. There's not enough dirt routes. So you'll see some of these horses run maybe on the quote-unquote wrong surface. Now, there's a horse in here, a filly in here, the number 9, Hidden Connection. And again, we've mentioned, you know, horses have won at Ellis and Saratoga and on the turf at Ellis and on the dirt at Indiana Grand and turf horses from Saratoga, Indiana Grand dirt. Hidden Connection comes in from Colonial Downs. 5.5 furlong first time out. 102-1. And she could not have been more impressive. A daughter of Connect out of an Awesome Again mare. This distance should not be an issue for her. I can't imagine it is. That's a gaudy fig. Joy Runner, the number 11. She's got a pretty gaudy fig. She's 2-for-2. And another one of these gun runners who have... I don't remember a freshman sire coming back, a freshman sire coming out of the box like this. He already has 2 grade 1 and 2 grade 2 winners. There's Joy, there's Gun Runner. This is a Laura Waller's Mattress Mac runner who was a perfect 2-for-2 at Indiana Grand. Debut win in the slop. Came back and crushed 2 lifetime allowance horses on a fast main track and 110-4. This horse is getting good by Gun Runner out of a pure prize mare. I don't see why. This horse is a big number. Part of the reason I think this horse is a big number on a morning line of 10-1 is the outside draw, but I made Joy Runner my top selection. I would use Maxine Machine for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux. I would use Hidden Connection based off that big fig as well. Bobby, who do you like in this Pocahontas?
Horse you mentioned earlier, number 9, Hidden Connection, I almost made her my best bet of the weekend. She's actually my second best bet. So I loved what I saw from her race at Colonial. I think it's a bad morning line. I think she may actually go favored in this spot. If you can get 9-2 on Hidden Connection, I think that race beats this field, and she's bred to run longer than that 5.5 furlong. So I go with Hidden Connection. Anthony going with number 11, Joy Runner, goes as the Pocahontas race 8 on the card tomorrow at Churchill. 9th race on the card is the Grade 3 $300,000 Iroquois. These are the boys going a mile in a 16th. And another big field here, 11 of them going to post, and several ways you can go, Anthony.
Yeah, several ways you can go in here. There's a horse in this race who's been entered and scratched and a few times, Major General. I'm curious to see what he can do in here. But I got to tell you, Stellar Tap. Saratoga is the unveiling grounds, right? That's where you want to run your two-year-olds. I know this horse didn't run as fast a fig as you thought he would, but Stellar Tap was just sensational. 123-4 for the 7 furlongs in August of the two-year-old year is a pretty good time. On what was not that fast of a racetrack, it wasn't like it was a highway that day. Second place finisher, Keep Calm, Carry On, came back and broke his maiden impressively. I thought this race was Stellar Tap's to lose.
Okay, number 6, Stellar Tap for Anthony. I went to a bit of a long shot, the South Florida base, number 4, Strike Hard. Liked what I saw from his effort winning the one-turn mile in his maiden race last time out. He was about 2 lengths clear of the second-place finisher. He was about 13 clear of the third-place finisher. He's another one that looks like he's headed the right direction. I like the 10-1 on Strike Hard. Goes as the 9th race, the Grade 3 Iroquois, tomorrow at Churchill Downs. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll get to some more races from both Churchill. We'll head up to Woodbine, then head back over to Belmont Park. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Nyra Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Nyra Betts. Sign up for Nyra Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Nyra Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Nyra Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NyraBetts.com.
The spring summer meet is just heating up at Gulfstream Park. with racing now through September 26th, Friday through Sunday. Look forward to the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series starting July 31st. And stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone with First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For 10 Palms reservations, stake schedules, or tips and analysis, visit GulfstreamPark.com. We are now fully open for public viewing.
Watch and wager on world-class racing from Woodbine Racetrack with Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday post times of 1:10 p.m. Eastern and a Friday post time of 4:50 p.m. Eastern. And on September 18th and 19th, you are not going to want to miss another big 2 days of racing with four Grade 1 races, including three Breeders' Cup Challenge Winning Your In races featuring the Woodbine Mile, Natalma, and Summer Stakes. For more information on racing and handicapping, visit Woodbine.com. That's Woodbine.com.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
I'm Manny Franco, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
Raging Bull swings off the rail. Field Pass will try to go with that one. Dalrain behind them. Sacred Life is trying to move out toward the center of the course. Still 5 lengths from the lead. Ride of Comet's going to be coming late on the grandstand side. Raging Bull, the leader. Final furlong, Maker's Mark Mile. Ride of Comet far outside. Raging Bull has the lead. Hit the Road comes up the inside. Raging Bull is in front. Ride of Comet, Sacred Life. Raging Bull in front by two. Ride of Comet second down to the wire. Raging Bull and Iran Ortiz Jr. to win the Maker's Mark Mile. 1:33.86.
Kurt Becker on the call of the Maker's Mark Mile won by Raging Bull. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Bobby Newman and the Big A Anthony Stabile bringing you races from all around North America. Belmont Park, Churchill Downs, Laurel Park, and Woodbine. Don't forget, they're off at Belmont Park. The fall meet is here with the long-awaited opening of Belmont this past Thursday. Horses are sprinting out of the gate. And Naira Betts is giving out an extra $200 for anyone to get in on the action. Naira Betts is offering a $200 sign-up bonus for this historic fall meet at the world-famous Belmont Park. 100% match on your first initial deposit. Eligible up to $200. Just use the promo code HRRN200. That's HRRN200. Available nationwide. Sign up for Naira Betts at NairaBetts.com or download the Naira Betts app. And Anthony, not only can people take part in Naira Betts, but they can watch America's Day at the races throughout the fall meet at Belmont Park. Not only do they get the great racing from Belmont, they get all the great racing from Churchill Downs as well.
Yeah, we cover both the Naira and the Churchill races, so fantastic programming. Andy, Lafitte, the whole crew, Maggie, Little A, Acacia Courtney, yeah, great program. Covers all of the action. And don't forget, you got to opt into all the promotions at NairaBets.com now. So whatever we got going on this weekend, head on over there and make sure you opt in on the website or on the mobile app.
And by the way, those America's Day at the Races shows, for the most part, can be found on FS2. Check your local listings, but FS2 is generally the home of America's Day at the Races. Catch all the Belmont and Churchill action. Let's head back out to the races for some more handicapping, and we'll get to the 10th race tomorrow at Churchill Downs, the $400,000 Grade 3 Locust Grove for the fillies and mares going a mile and a 16th on the main track. Seven very talented runners in here. But the fans are going to make it out to be really between two of these fillies, number 5, Envoûtante, and number 7, She Dares the Devil.
Yeah, and I think the fans are going to be right. One of these two fillies is supposed to win this race. Now, Envoûtante has I think the better singular efforts, yet She Dares the Devil seems to have her number. And I don't know what changes that. They both love Churchill Downs. She Dares the Devil's 4-for-4. Envoûtante is 3-for-5 with a second and a third. One of those seconds was in the La Troyenne behind She Dares the Devil. And I know Envoûtante is a filly who is near and dear to your heart. You're a big fan. If I were playing, and this is, remember, this is a night card tomorrow night, so I will be playing. I would just use both of them in the late pick four and pick five. And you must be saying to yourself, oh, gee, thanks, guy. You're giving me a 2-1 and a 4-5 shot. I don't think they should be as far apart on the morning line as they are. She did a doubles 4-5, Envoûtante's 2-1. Because I don't think, and I know she has her number, but I do not think they are that far apart. And quite honestly, I think Envoûtante has run the better race this year. I think her Shawnee was better than any of She Dares the Devil's races this year. I just don't know how it's going to unfold. They kind of have the same running style. What does Crystal Ball do from the rail under Tyler Gaffleone? Does she try to protect? I don't know. I'm going to give the slight edge to Envoûtante, but I'm going to use both of them in the late pick five.
Okay. I agree with everything you said, and I don't know if it's my heart speaking or my sense speaking, but I'm going to pick Envoûtante again. Like you said, she hasn't been able to beat She Dares the Devil. For some reason, I just keep trying to beat She Dares the Devil, and more often than not, it turns out to be a bad decision. But we'll see what happens. Race 10 tomorrow, the Grade 3 Locust Grove. Let's get over to Woodbine. They've got great cards Saturday and Sunday. And third race on tomorrow's card is the Grade 2 Canadian Stakes. These are fillies and mares going a mile and 1/8 on the turf. Short but sweet field of five going to post. And a couple of them here are going to get most of the action. The locally based Merveilleux for Kevin Attard and Rafael Hernandez. Or the shipper from the Straits, La Dragontee, for Christophe Clement and Joel Rosario.
And that's where I landed in here. I would imagine Joel Rosario and La Dragontee. No surprise here. I'm taking Clement and Rosario. Are going to be on the lead or lay up right off of a horse like the number two, Our Secret Agent, who's coming out of the sprints and the one-turn races over at Woodbine on the all-weather. She even has some old dirt races back at Churchill Downs. Made a stop at the Big A at one point in her career. I would imagine that La Dragontee is going to be forwardly placed in here, have the jump on Merveilleux. Merveilleux hasn't really come back this year. You know, I know her last race in the Dance Smartly, the figure came back okay, but I don't even know if she's really a dirt horse, Bobby. She might be more of a synthetic horse. This spot comes up, and like you said, it's only a field of five, comes up a little light. Give me the horse with more tactical speed, and my main man, Joel Rosario, La Dragontee for me in this Canadian.
I agree with you. I'm not sure La Dragontee will make the lead. She'll either be in front or stalking number two, Our Secret Agent, who's been in a lot of sprint races lately, even though she's not showing a lot of speed in those races. I think she may have more speed than the others. Either way, I think La Dragontee will be in front of Merveilleux, and I don't know if Merveilleux can pass La Dragontee in the Canadian. So we're both going with the second choice on the morning line there. Race 9 on the Woodbine card tomorrow is the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International. Always a great race and always a race where horses come out of it and end up going into the Breeders' Cup turf. These are 3-year-olds and up. It's a Grade 1 race. Purse here is $600,000. Mile and a half on the turf at beautiful Woodbine. Field of 9 set to go to post here. Where'd you end up?
This was a little bit of a head-scratcher for me. I feel like if you're going to use a Euro, you got to use both of them. Walton Street and Desert Encounter come over. I'm not the biggest fan of the German races. That's where Walton Street comes from. Ran in a Grade 1 over in Germany. I'm not really a big fan of those races. And when he's run in the better races in France, and he really hasn't fired that well. He's run okay in Dubai and Frankie Dettori, going to ride him, Raging Bull, and Rico Woodbine Mile, which we'll talk about in a minute. Desert Encounter, though, is a little interesting because he comes over with less attractive form. There is one race on the card. He ran in the Prince of Wales behind Love earlier this year. But, man, he has not done much running over there. But, if you look at his career box, you see 2-for-2 at Woodbine. So I went with Desert Encounter in here. I don't really like anything stateside except Fantasioso, who was a little disappointing, I thought, last time in the John's call up at Saratoga. He's going to get Joel Rosario for the first time. He needs horses like Belichick. He needs horses like Primo Touch to go out there and kind of hit up a little bit for a little bit of pace. Right, the Euros, it never really seems to matter. But Desert Encounter, a little Fantasioso, and I guess if I'm playing multis, there's a $250,000 guaranteed pick four that starts in this race. I would probably throw Walton Street in just to not get beat by Charlie Appleby, who seems to have brought nothing but runners over to the States this year.
No, I couldn't agree more with everything that you said. I'm on Desert Encounter, too. I think that his best races have actually come at Woodbine. Listen, he's only 4.5 lengths behind Love and 3.5 lengths behind Adaria. I mean, those two horses would be, what, 2-5?
Forget
1-2 if they were in this race. So
name the price.
Even though he's a 9-year-old and, you know, he's had a lot of starts, I think this is his, you know, this is where he wants to be. He's proven at Woodbine. I'm on Desert Encounter. We're both on Desert Encounter, 3-1 in the Pattison Canadian International. Race 10 tomorrow at Woodbine is the $1 million Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile, 3-year-olds and up, going that one-turn mile on the turf at Woodbine. Nice field of 10 here, and usually we see horses who do well in this race end up going to the Breeders' Cup Mile.
We do. I don't want to say it's a weak renewal because you got a couple of heavy hitters in Set Piece and Raging Bull. But I got to tell you, you could knock me over with a feather if one of these two horses did not win this race tomorrow. And I'm always going to give the edge to Raging Bull. I don't know what happened last time in the four-star Dave. It's the second year in a row, in fact, that he has run an absolute clunker in the four-star Dave. I mean, absolute awful effort. Awful. And he made that little early move that he made to win the Maker's Mark Mile and to run well in the poker behind Alexandra, a move that he never had in the past. At 6 years old now, he's actually more tactical than he was when he was younger. And I think that's going to help him a lot tomorrow. I think that's going to help him around the one turn. A lot of these races are two turns. You know, that Belmont race, the poker, that's a one-turn race, but a majority of his races are two-turn races. And I think that poker is one of his best efforts. I think getting him back around the one turn is going to help him. I would imagine it's going to help Set Piece as well, who, to my knowledge, has never run around one turn on the turf. All of his races at Churchill and the Fairgrounds, they're all around two turns. Saratoga, even, that's a two-turn mile. And he ran much better than Raging Bull did in the four-star Dave. I just think Raging Bull's a better horse. And, you know, he's run at Woodbine. He got beat just a length and a quarter in this race 2 years ago when he probably should have won despite a little bit of a tough trip from start to finish. I'll go with the Bull.
I'm a big Raging Bull fan, but he's gotten my last dollar wagering wise. I just don't want him anymore. I don't know what it is. You know, he's disappointed.
I won't tell him you said that.
Yeah,
I won't,
you know,
tell
what?
Him you said that.
I mean, I know he's talented. I just don't know what to make of him now. He's certainly not very consistent. His good races are good enough to win, but he runs enough not good races or troubled races that you just kind of scratch your head. I'm going to go with a little bit of a goofball here in number 10, Space Traveler, for Brendan Walsh and Daniel Tudhope. He last ran in the Mr. D, which was formerly the Arlington Million. He didn't run a bad race trying to close into a pace where you couldn't close. Even domestic spending couldn't get up with that slow pace. But he was only beaten 3.5 lengths in the end. He ran in the Breeders' Cup Mile a couple years ago at Santa Anita, was only 5 lengths behind Uni, was only about 3.5 lengths behind God Stormy. I think this is a horse who's as talented as about anyone in the field. He doesn't win that often, but his good races are good, and he's 12-1 on the morning line. I'm going to try Space Traveler in this one-turn mile, breaking from the outside post, post position number 10. The Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile goes as the 10th race tomorrow at Woodbine. Okay, we're going to take a break. We've got one more segment left, plus our best bets. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Bets. Sign up for Naira Bets today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBets.com.
The thrill of thoroughbred racing is back at Laurel Park. The brand new dirt surface and world-class turf course are ready for the races. Spend an afternoon dining with someone special at your choice of restaurants. Grab a bite with friends at the food court or relax and enjoy racing action from around the world in the sports bar. Laurel Park has it all. The beer is cold, the action is hot, and the horses are fast. Nothing beats a day at the track. Live racing Thursday through Sunday, post time, 12:40 p.m.
Hi, this is Kelsey Grammer. When military service members head into battle, none are expected to face the enemy alone, but many return home and become isolated as they struggle with the visible and invisible wounds of war. It can be difficult knowing how to overcome that challenge and rekindle bonds similar to those formed in the military. Wounded Warrior Project supports these injured veterans through their recoveries by connecting them with fellow warriors and their communities. No one should fight this battle alone. Join us at WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at HorseRacingRadio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton, only on HRRN.
This is Florent Giroux, and you are listening to HRRN.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Bets.
Three quarters in 1-11 and 2, and they're at the top of the stretch. Plum Ali is now right alongside of Caldi. Plum Ali has taken the lead. Caldi runs in second. On the outside is Editor-at-Large. It's Plum Ali narrowly. Caldi continues to battle on. Editor-at-Large is in third. Plum Ali with the lead now clear by two. Editor-at-Large and Caldi giving chase, but it's going to be Plum Ali, and she's now three for three. Three wins at three different tracks. Today, it's the Miss Grillo here at Belmont Park.
John and Brielle on the call of the Grade 2 Miss Grillo from October 4th of last year, won by Plum Ali. That was when Plum Ali looked like she may be the best 2-year-old filly turfer in the nation. Unfortunately, that was the last time that Plum Ali got to the winner's circle. Five straight losses since that race. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Bets, Bobby Newman, and the Big A, Anthony Stabile, bringing you racing from all around North America. And speaking of Plum Ali, she is going to be running Sunday, Anthony, in the $150,000 Pebble Stakes at Belmont Park. 3-year-old fillies here going 1 mile on the turf, technically about a one-turn mile. They actually make a little bit of a left-hand bend shortly out of the starting gate, but for the most part, it's a one-turn mile. Plum Ali is drawn inside. Nice big field of 13 scheduled to go to post, and is this where Plum Ali rebounds? It certainly looks like he can go a lot of different ways.
Boy, this is as salty an ungraded stakes race as you are going to see, my friend. There's $150,000 on the line here, like you said, a baker's dozen. Man, I had a really, really, really tough time with this race. I'm a big Plum Ali fan. I don't know what's happened. The only thing I could say is this. For the bigger money races, and I hate to use the word important, but for the more important races, you have to handle a little bit more ground, right? The Wonder Again here at Belmont is kind of the prep for the Belmont Oaks, which is the Wonder Again at 1 1/8, the Oaks at 1 1/4, the Oaks Invitational at 1 3/16, the Jockey Club races on Saturday at longer distances. So it certainly looks like her kick is not as potent going longer. And she's going to go a mile for the first time since her return race this year in the Appalachian down at Keeneland. Now, in her last two races going a mile, both at Keeneland, the Appalachian and the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf, the bias kind of got her in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. Jouster getting loose on a 49-4 half kind of got her in the Appalachian, even though the race, the turf course at the time was more conducive to Plum Ali's running style than Jouster. But at the time, Jouster was on a nice run, and if you get a little horse like Jouster go 50 to the half, they're usually going to win. I'm picking Plum Ali, but understand this. When I play pick fours and pick fives on Sunday at beautiful Belmont Park, I'm going to have a spread as well because I don't trust her anymore. She just has not accelerated like you'd like to see some of these horses. I think Keeper of Time, who was third in her North American debut for Brendan Walsh in the Risk Averse at Saratoga, I think she's going to appreciate the bigger course at Belmont Park. I think the turns may have gotten in her way last time. So I'll certainly be using Keeper of Time. I will be using Nizuna, who'll be making her first start for trainer Chad Brown. Nizuna was here for the Breeders' Cup. She went back to Europe and ran on the Epsom Derby undercard. She finished second in a grade three. And then she came here for the Oaks Invitational. And it was a weird race, the way the race set up with the rain in the course. They went 116 and 2 to the three quarters, and John Velasquez kind of had to move her a little too soon, I think. She gets a Red Ortiz Jr. She gets first-time Chad Brown. So Nizuna is another one. Those are the three I'm going to focus off of, as well as Runaway Rumor. She'll be the fourth one in for me. Runaway Rumor's done very little wrong in her career so far. A couple of defeats to Technical Analysis in her last two. They were the first two times she tasted defeat. She won her first three. So those are the four I'll be keying off of with Plum Ali, the top pick.
Okay. I think Plum Ali, the deal with her is that she just hasn't improved very much since being a two-year-old, and everyone's caught up to her. And she's just not much better as a three-year-old than she was as a two-year-old, where most of them take gigantic steps forward. Not that she's not better as a three-year-old, she's just not much better as a three-year-old. I like Nizuna. I think the mile and a quarter last time out was too far for her. She's going to appreciate shortening back to up to a mile. As you mentioned, Chad Brown taking over the controls of this daughter of Kodiak for the first. Would you? The other Chad Brown trained were like that Louise Sox getting aboard for the first time. She looked really good sprinting in her U.S. view. Hasn't it looked as good routing late, but I don't think she's greatest of trip and wide all the time, and that's just not the way to win on racing, let alone turf racing. Maybe it'll change will help out. So I like Niz going to use Monaco, the ninth race, the 100,000 pet over at Belmont Park. Get over to Anthony Beale.
Over at Woodbine, and I don't disagree with anything you just said about Manon, especially, you know, those mile races before we get over to Woodbine, those mile races on the inner at Saratoga, she broke from post nine, and I probably slept her a little bit. You made a lot of good points, Bobby. I'm going to throw her in. The fact that she was wide around there last time from post nine, and she only got beat three lengths to Technical Analysis, and Toby's Heart, who came back to win at Kentucky Downs last week, doing what she likes to do in sprinting. Yeah, Manon's going to be the fifth one in for me. Thank you for hitting me to her.
Well, it doesn't. I'm right. Trying. Let's get over to Woodbine. Got a couple of bikes on. They have more, but we only have for two of them. And the eighth Sunday is the $1,000 grand Talmud stake, the 2-year-old mile on field of, including they own Pizza Bianca.
Yes. Pizza Bianca. White pizza. Nove makes the best white pizza. All of my friends thought I made a gazillion dollars when Pizza Bianca broke her maiden at first asking up at Saratoga, for the simple fact that is all I talk about is white pizza. Now, she's owned by Bobby Flay, bred by Bobby Flay as well, Christophe Clement. I don't know if this is his first horse for Bobby, but I'll tell you what. She came with a run, and she ran by a horse that Chad Brown was really high on in Expand the Map. Expand the Map was considered to be one of the best ones, and she came flying and ran right by her, got up by three-quarters of a length. Nice debut. I like the fact that Christophe has given this filly a little bit of time. This is a women you're in for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies Turf. So, you know, you take the one shot. Obviously, given her all of this time between starts, He must feel, Christoph, that she needs the time. She gets the time. It's perfect setup with the women you're in to go right to the Breeders' Cup, which is 7 weeks, a day shy of 7 weeks for the two-year-old, or 2 days shy, actually, since this race will be run on Sunday over at Woodbine. I think you can make a case for Pizza Bianca, who's actually cutting back to one turn and to a mile from the mile and a 16th win. I think you make a case for Ready Lady, daughter of More Than Ready out of that out of Lady Shakespeare, who won by a half length in her debut over the course, going 7 furlongs, the extra eighth of a mile, should not be a problem. And like I said earlier, I'm not letting Charlie Appleby beat me with anything. He's bringing over a daughter of Frankel and Wild Beauty. Frankie Dettori is going to ride. She's run 5 times already. The last three at 7/8. She was second in a grade three last time out over at Newmarket. So those are the three I'll look at. Pizza Bianca, my top pick in the Natalma, Mr. Newman.
I'm going to take the same filly. I don't know what price she's going to be. I don't love her in this spot. I do love the fact that Joel Rosario goes up there to ride. I love the fact that they've been planning for this race all along. It's been part of their master plan. And I liked what I saw from her debut. I don't see any reason that she can't be better second time out. So Pizza Bianca for me, not only Sunday at Woodbine, but hopefully a little later today for either lunch, I mean for dinner this evening. Ninth race on the card Sunday at Woodbine, the boys, center stage. Two-year-olds once again, $400,000 on the line. The grade one summer stakes, 1 mile on the turf once again. Field of nine set to go to post here in another race where there are several ways you can go.
Yeah, several ways you can go. Another Charlie Appleby. Al Barr comes in off a 3-race win streak. You know, they come over here to get this win and you're in action to grab some of this money. This horse is a must-use for me. I thought Degree of Risk ran well for Owen Hardy first time, another Godolphin runner here. This horse, you know, you watch this replay, and the chart caller at Woodbine must be a real, real grizzled veteran. Hung. After the start this horse had, to give this horse any knock, it's really, 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 really cruel, man. It's really tough. This horse lost all chance at the start. Got beat a length and 3/4, and this guy hung, put the word hung in the chart call. Pretty stunning. First Empire's run well in his two turf starts. I went to Shug, to the one, Dripping Gold. Joel Rosario, another one of these horses that broke the maiden going a mile on the 16th at Saratoga. Another one of these horses that's cutting back. This horse ran really, really well first time out. Son of Lemon Drop Kid out of a Danzig mare. I'll take Dripping Gold over those other horses I mentioned.
All right, I'm going to go with a local runner, or at least one that's already run at Woodbine, the 6th Degree of Risk for Owen Hardy and Justin Stein, sprinting all three of his previous starts, but being by Cairo Prince out of a hard-spun mare, I think his career is going to get better as the distances get longer. I like what I've seen sprinting. I think he's going to be better routing. I'm going to try Degree of Risk at what I think will be a little bit of an upset in the Grade 1 Summer Stakes, 9th race on the Sunday card at Woodbine. Okay, all 15 races are in the books. It's time now for the Naira Bets Best Bet.
This is the Naira Bets Best Bet.
Take it away, Anthony.
Well, I tell you what, I had a tough time really finding one here, and I was going to try and be clever. Now, I didn't give you my picks for the Belmont races. I'm going to make a cold exacta in the Grand Prix American Jockey Club Invitational. Say that 5 times fast. And I'm going to make a Flying P cold exacta. Lone Rock, who has just turned into a win machine at these marathon races, over locally owned. Throw that last race out from locally owned. That was too bad to be believed. He kind of has a little bit of an in-out pattern going on as well. He's by Distorted Humor out of a pulpit mare. I think this added distance is going to be to his liking. I would imagine Moretti chases Lone Rock and Chris and Dave. I hope it falls apart. I hope locally owned picks up the paces. A cold 4-6 Lone Rock over locally owned is my Naira Bet's best bet in race number 4 at Belmont on Saturday.
Okay, so you're going to the 4th race at Belmont Saturday. I'm going to the 10th race at Belmont Saturday, the $1 Million Jockey Club Derby Invitational for the 3-year-olds and a mile and a half on the turf. You mentioned Charlie Appleby early. I think he's got the goods with number two, Yabir, 2-1 on the morning line. I would take 2-1 in a heartbeat. I think this horse has been facing tougher competition over in Great Britain. I think Yabir is going to win the Million Dollar Jockey Club Derby Invitational this Saturday at Belmont Park. That'll wrap up tonight's edition of the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts. Don't forget, tune in tomorrow, the show that launched the network, the Equine Forum, presented by Woodbine Entertainment. Kirkwood Stables' Kip Elzer looks back on week one of the Keeneland September sale, talks about his South Carolina training center. Maryland announcer Dave Rodman looks ahead to Saturday's Frank DeFrancis Memorial Dash. Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson joins Mike Pena as well, and a slew of other great guests. Stick around. It all happens here on HRRN.